What up, everybody? Welcome to Washington Football Talk Podcast. It is Monday, November 30th. We got lots to discuss as the Washington football team is currently tied for first place in the NFC East. We got a packed podcast. We're brought to you by Orsman Automotive of Virginia, like we always are. Check them out. We ride with them. Want you to do the same thing. OrsmanVA.com. Pete Haley and Mitch Tischler are here. Guys, I want to go. We have a lot of interviews in this podcast. We got our weekly sit down with Ron Rivera, and then I got to sit down and talk with Gabe Taylor, who is Sean Taylor's younger brother. We all know it's just the anniversary of his passing. It's a pretty emotional conversation. We're going to do that at the end. So we'll do like kind of a regular podcast, and then everybody gets to listen to that interview at the end. Real quick, fellas, I want to check in on your NFC East, where you think everything is, who's going to win it. Giants barely squeaked by the Bengals. Eagles play Monday night against Seahawks. I think Washington's schedule is a little bit easier than the Giants, but to me, it's all about wins. So let's do a chip breakdown. Mitchell.
I'm sticking where I've been since we started this chip breakdown with division. I got Washington at 70 chips. I got the Giants at 20, and then the rest of the trash has the last 10 chips that are there. But I think that, especially with this injury to Daniel Jones, it's going to be super interesting watching Colt McCoy not play directly against Washington football team, but kind of against Washington from across the field. But I would take Alex Smith and the way that this offense is running over any of the other offenses in the division. And I think that they have the best path to 6+, in that there's a chance that they potentially get to 7, but I think that they have the easiest path to 6. And so I think Washington's going to win the division.
I still have Washington as my chip leader, but not as resounding of a difference as Mitch. I'll give them 50. I'll give the Giants 35, and I'll give the Eagles 15. The injury to Daniel Jones.
Sure, your math's right. Everybody's very concerned about your math.
Yeah, 50, 35 is 85. You add 15 to that, you get 100, and this is 100 chips, so it checks out. I'm a little, like, I think that could change in a couple weeks if they get pounded by the Steelers, but we just have to get through that week. It might be ugly, but that shouldn't change the total outlook because we don't expect them to beat Pittsburgh. So we might have to ride out a tough week and then refocus with the final four games, but I still have Washington as the favorite.
Yeah, I'm somewhere around there. I think the DJ injury in New York is a major question mark. I mean, just because we know Colt, man, he becomes an injury risk when he gets on the field too. So kind of a lot to consider there. I think right now, I mean, I usually get the lines sent to me every week. Maybe they haven't sent them. Maybe that's a Tuesday thing because the Seahawks play tonight or the Philly plays tonight. But I would think Vegas has Washington as the favorite now. The other part, Dallas still has a really easy schedule. I know they just – Washington just stomped on them, but Dallas still has probably the easiest remaining schedule.
But just like with Washington, since they lost both the Giants, they need to beat the right. Giants.
Yep.
Cowboys losing both to Washington makes it tough, so they have to beat both Washington and the Giants. All Giants right, have – what's that?
I was just going to go to Ron, but go ahead.
Oh, I was just – the Giants have the Seahawks, Cards, Browns, Ravens, and Cowboys left as their 5 games remaining.
4 of the 5 are very good. Yeah. Somewhere between good and very good. All right, let's go to head coach Ron Rivera.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Always great to talk to head coach Ron Rivera, particularly after a big win in Dallas and maybe some rest a few days with the weekend off. Looking ahead now, you got the Pittsburgh Steelers, but like everything in our world, COVID is impacting this. And the Steelers are set to play Tuesday night, but it seems like everything's still up in the air. How do you keep your team focused on the task at hand?
Exactly that. Is that, you know, they're our next opponent. We got to focus in on those guys. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. What matters is that, you know, we show up on Sunday and play good football. That's what's important to me. And that's the thing that, you know, we'll be stressed all week as guys, you know, they had the situation where they played on Tuesday. So be it. Our situation is we're playing them on Sunday. So we'll focus in. We'll get ourselves ready to play and hopefully go out and play well.
You've had to play on short weeks. You just did it, turning around from the Bengals to the Cowboys. It's possible the Steelers will be playing on a short week, Tuesday to Sunday. How much of an impact does that really make?
You know, it's really about your approach. You know, I talked about this earlier in the earlier press conferences that, you know, it's interesting that that's the situation and circumstances. Is it important? Well, if you handle those situations and circumstances a specific way, it's not important. It's just there. Okay. But if you make a big deal about it, you whine about it, now it becomes important. It becomes a distraction and you're not focusing on getting ready to play football.
Speaking of kind of different situations, I can't help but notice you're at home. I believe you guys aren't allowed into the practice facility today and tomorrow. Is that right? The facilities are closed across the league. How much of an impact does that make?
Well, It doesn't, because we've had a few days to prepare for this as a coaching staff. So I know all the coordinators have talked with their position coaches. Everybody's taken home their laptops to Zoom and meet. I know the offense and defense and special teams are meeting right now. They should be done early because they've had a few extra days to prep everything. So, you know, and then things will start to gear up tomorrow. And then once we get back into the building on Wednesday, it'll really take off.
And listen, nobody's crying a river for professional athletes, but do you think fans understand how hard this has been on you as the coaches and the players, the daily testing and just kind of the rigorous procedural stuff?
I think there are some that do understand and do have an appreciation of it. And then there are some that they're just excited the fact that we're playing on Sunday or Monday or Thursday. I really do. And again, it's not because they're, you know, they don't care or anything. It's just they don't really know. And so for them to see us on the television on Sunday, Monday, or Thursday is really a relief. It's kind of their escape. So, you know, and that's why I said hopefully we can get through an entire season and the playoffs and have a Super Bowl for them, because this has been hard on everybody. And as I've said earlier too, if we can do it and do it successfully and do it because we follow the protocols very, very strictly. It just shows everybody that if you are vigilant, you can get through this, and we can as the NFL, but we can more importantly as the United States, we can get through this and as a world. So hopefully we can be an example.
It's a great message. And I do think you and the players across the league deserve commendation, because what you're doing is way more than what regular people are doing to get this done. And I don't think everybody realizes that. You mentioned the playoffs. I didn't mention it. You mentioned the playoffs. The win. What's that?
Say playoffs.
You said it.
When?
You said, well, we got to get through the season and then the playoffs and then the Super Bowl.
I didn't mention it about us. I just mentioned in general.
Let me ask this. 5 games to go. The win in Dallas puts you into a tie for first place in the division.
Yeah.
When is the right time to start watching those standings every week? Not yet?
No. You have to take care of your business. You have to play your game. If you don't win, it doesn't matter. So we have to take them one gate at a time. We have to have the right approach going to that game. And we have to have the right understanding of what the circumstances are. Now, maybe after that game, then you pay attention to what's happening to the other teams in your division. But right now, the focus has to be on what we do and how we do it going forward.
So watching Seahawks-Eagles Monday night will just be a scouting game for you, because you got to face both those opponents later in the year.
Absolutely. That's the only way you can look at it.
Ron, thank you very much. Congrats again on the big win in Dallas. That was a fun one for the whole region.
It was, and I appreciate it. You know, and it's been really cool. Gotten some nice emails and text messages from a lot of folks around here just telling me how much they appreciate it. So that was really cool.
I bet. That one means a lot. Thanks again, Coach.
All right, JP. Thank you.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
All right. Hear what the coach said. He's not going to focus on the playoffs yet. I'm not entirely sure I believe that. I'm sure he's keeping track. I'm confident they were watching that Giants-Bengals game yesterday. And we'll be wondering what happens with Daniel Jones. What is it, a hammy?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the way he runs too, that would limit him, even if he tries to gut it out. Who does New York play next? Arizona?
They play the Seahawks next.
Okay. Interesting times ahead for the Washington football team. I do think it's important that we're coming off the high of the thumper in Dallas. And we're talking playoffs. Like, I do think it's important we don't get ahead of ourselves, Ashburn ourselves.
Yes.
Forget that this team is still not very good.
Right. The weather's getting colder. This is when Ashburn syndrome starts to pick up. It's more prevalent, especially after winning Thanksgiving in Dallas. That's causes a big spike in Ashburn.
The super spreader event.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last time coming off the Cowboys win, there was a lot of excitement. This time you're coming off a Bengals and Cowboys win as well. So there's excitement again. So what's that?
Two game heater. I tell you what, either Giants game or the Lions game starts to haunt you. And I saw it on social media a little bit. Like, this team could easily be 7-4 or 6-5. Like, stop with the easilies. Nothing is easy ever.
If they were a good team, they would have won those games. They're right. Mediocre team, so they lose those games.
And so for everybody that's like, oh man, they could take out Tampa in the first round, like, they are 4-7. So let's all relax a little bit. Now, I think things have stabilized with Alex at quarterback, but it's still quite different. So
if you think that
topics, what, Mitchell?
I was just gonna say, if you think this is the obviously different leadership and all that, but same franchise as old where they lose every year, they lose a game that you expect them to win. You can count that as probably the Giants' home game. Every year they win a game you don't expect them to. Which one is that for you guys?
What?
Probably Seattle. They haven't had their unexpected win yet, so I'd say Seattle at home is more likely than going to Pittsburgh and beating them there.
I agree. That's what I was. I think that's that Seattle game at home is. Of the upper tier games that are that seem out of reach, is the closest one that's within reach.
Who did Seattle just lost to somebody that stinks?
Seattle's been scuffling on offense a little bit. They haven't been particularly good as of late.
I guess they didn't lose anybody that stinks. They lost to the Bills and the Rams, both on the road. They just beat the Cardinals. That was Sunday Night Football, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think on a defense that gives up big plays, Seattle makes big plays.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy. I think it could be Pittsburgh. But I also think we're all a little crazy for thinking of the Niners as one they should win. Like, I understand the importance of the Niners game. But I think we should remind ourselves of the talent gap. And I know San Francisco's got some big injuries, but, like, I don't know. Going out or going wherever that game takes place, I think we're a little bit ahead of ourselves counting the Niners as, like, a win.
I think it's – to me, I'm not counting them as a win, but I think it's counting them as a can win. Like, you look at the last five games and you have should win against the Eagles, in my opinion, can win against the Panthers and the Niners, and probably won't win against the Seahawks and the Steelers. And so that's kind of, as I tier them, that's why the Niners don't count in that group, because it's a game that you look at and you can kind of see a path to victory. When I look at the Seahawks and the Steelers, things would have to go pretty catastrophically wrong for those two teams to lose to Washington.
So you have one SW, two CWs, and two PWWs left on the schedule.
Correct.
Yes.
Mitch was.
I'll say this about San Fran. They play in the hardest division in football. They're 5-6, and they have a positive point differential on the year. They're plus 7. Washington's 4-7, and we all know about the division, and they have a negative point differential on the year at minus 2.
And they have Kyle Shanahan and Trent Williams, who probably still have a sizable chip on their shoulder when they look at that franchise in the district.
And for Trent, for sure, I wonder when that changes for Kyle. Or is he just going to be mad forever? You know,
he strikes me as someone who's mad forever.
Yeah, as long as the owner is the same in Washington, he's going to be mad forever.
Well, especially because it's like a family thing. Like, he thinks he wronged his father.
Right.
So, yeah, I get it. Yeah, hell, he probably did. All right. Two things quick, and then we'll go to Gabe Taylor. One, you heard Ron talking about COVID across the league and everything. It seems like more and more a possible bubble could come for the playoffs, or at least once you get to like the conference championships, especially the way COVID is going across the country and more things seem to be closing again. If they close schools, I'm going to go on an epic tirade, but we'll hold that for now. Where would you want to bubble up, Pete?
Like me personally, or what makes sense for the league?
You can answer it any way you want, pal.
I want to bubble up in Hawaii. Hawaii seems like the most magical place in the world. I don't know if they have the logistics. It would be annoying for everybody to travel. I just want to go to Hawaii. I'm not rich enough to do it myself. It would be good for work purposes to kind of tie that into a personal trip. I want to see those white beaches and those clear waters, and I want to be tanning next to Mitch and JP on the beach before we go cover Washington, Tampa Bay in the playoffs.
They won't let us go to, they won't let us drive to Pittsburgh. You think they're sending you to Hawaii?
I don't know. Just trying to speak it into existence. This is a big podcast with a lot of listeners trying to start that momentum now.
All right.
Well, I think the NFL should bubble.
You answered any way you wanted, and you sure did.
I definitely took your word.
I think the NFL should bubble up in the Maldives if we're going. We're just throwing S at the wall. LA is the best spot for them to bubble up. You got three legit stadiums there that have hosted NFL games. You have the LA Coliseum, you have the Rose Bowl, you have SoFi, you have Dodger Stadium. You got a bunch of different spots where you could have a bunch of different football games going on at the same time. It seems to be the spot that makes the most sense. Who was it, JPF? I think it was your retweet. Somebody pointed out that there should be a bubble in LA. There should be a bubble in Jersey. There should be one in
Dallas.
Have like the NFC East and the AFC East are in Jersey. The NFC North and the AFC North are in.
It's a good idea, but that it's like too late for that. You would have had to change the schedule and everything. Like now you got, I mean, Washington plays Seattle, right? And like,
right. I was thinking the last game or two of the season to just like as a lead into the playoffs for those teams that need it.
Yeah, but not. I mean, I think everybody's last game is a division game, but yeah. I don't think everybody's last two games. I mean, Washington's is not.
Yeah, that's true.
But I kind of think, like, the fun bubble that Pete wants, hell, sure, Hawaii. I would think, like, Miami would be better because you have the logistics of, like, major cities and stadiums. But I think maybe – Texas, and you let the NFC playoffs take place in Dallas and the AFC playoffs take place in Houston, and you play them like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you spread the games out a little bit. And then you could still have the Super Bowl in Tampa, and just, you know, it's only two teams. You travel and everybody travels private, police escorts and everything. But I think, or like do Florida, do Miami and Tampa. Or if you want to do Cali, you could do L.A. I would just do L.A. You can do like L.A. in Vegas or L.A. in Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, we know it's not going to be the Northeast because it's cold. I don't think Seattle's just so remote. The Midwest never gets brought up in things like these. So I think you're talking California, Texas, or Florida in some capacity regardless.
And Hawaii.
And Hawaii.
Yeah.
And Hawaii. I forgot that. Do we want to do this now? Did you guys hear Charlie Casserly's comments on the quarterback position?
I saw it in written word. I didn't hear the tone.
I'll read it to you. So Casserly was on with the Junkies. And Murph, if you want, track down that audio. Terrific.
Would I feel comfortable with him today? I would. Who knows where I'll feel at the end of the year if he, you know, gets another injury. I don't think you can sit there and say we're totally comfortable. I think I can't say they've lost confidence in Haskins, but I think we all think that that's kind of where it is right now. But that could always change. You know, Haskins played well at the end of last year in the system that evolved for him. He was inconsistent in the system he's here. You know, we'll have to see what happens with him. I don't think you're not going to get a lot for him in a trade, I don't believe. So, you know, I wouldn't get rid of the guy. I'd keep working with him. But you're right. The long-term answer is not here. And it's fool's gold. And I don't think they're buying it, what's happening right now, long-term. If they make the playoffs, that's great. You've taught the guys how to win. You got a lot of young players who are playing well right now. That's good. So it's important for them to learn how to win and win close games. But you still need to solve the quarterback long term.
Yes, you're correct, Charlie. Right? Like, does anybody have a disagreement?
I mean, I don't have a strong disagreement because it's definitely long term. It's not the answer. But if Alex plays well these last five games, let's say he continues at the pace that he's at, and he can hold you over next year and you keep building up around it, it's a recipe where you can be a back-to-back potential playoff team, and then you drop in your star quarterback into a team that's pretty built up around it. That's what I've been advocating for a while with the, you know, before the Dwayne draft was there's so many holes on this team that they, to fill, if you have a stabilizing figure at that quarterback spot, you can improve all the positions around it, and it makes it that much easier to get the guy.
I would say if you give Alex Smith about 10, 11 more games as starter here in Washington, I'd be cool with it. Let him finish out this year and maybe give him the first month of next year. But anything beyond that would be a little bit reckless and not the best decision in my opinion, because you know, you can do the Mitch method where you build everything around and you get the quarterback last. I like the other method where you get the quarterback, he makes everybody better, and then you can kind of build the team after that. So Alex is fine. It's not fool's gold for this year. For this year, it's their best way to win, but beyond, I think it is fool's gold.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Pete, rather. I think Alex is on the roster next year. You know, there was the Rappaport report that said that, and I think it makes sense. I wrote about that. But in no way – and here's the thing. If they make the playoffs, the draft position is going to swing wildly. Like, I think they're going to drop to 18 if they make the playoffs, to the 18th pick. And that's assuming they don't win a game in the playoffs. So I think people kind of have to prepare themselves for that. I think just the path they're on now, I think they get to 6. And even if they get to 6, I think you're talking the 10th, 12th pick.
Yeah.
Probably pull that up from just at least from last year. But I think whatever – whatever your plan is, like however your draft board sets up, like if quarterback is your pick and they're there, like take it.
Yes. So entirely agree.
6 and 10 last year would have gotten you the 9th pick. The Jags and the Browns were both 6 and 10. But then
I agree with you, JP. If you're
make the playoffs, it's a different scenario.
If your draft board sets up and where you're picking 8 and the quarterback is there at 8, you go for him. I entirely agree with that. But you see how much that missing on that, they already tried to drop in the quarterback before they had the team. And there were a billion other factors that came with it. But
what, with Alex?
No, with Dwayne.
They just missed the pick.
What?
You think they had the team and just tried to drop Dwayne in?
No, I'm saying they didn't. They tried to get they reached a little bit or grabbed they used their best pick to pick a quarterback, even if he might not have been the best player to take right there, because they were reaching to try and get that quarterback in the future.
Right. Correct. They missed, but they missed the pick. I don't think trying to get a quarterback is bad because Dwayne is bad. Like, Justin Herbert was a reach, but that looks really damn good right now. Right. I mean, the Chiefs traded up to get Mahomes when they already had Alex Smith. Like, if you, it's like smashing watermelons for these coaches. If it hits, it's awesome. But otherwise, it's stupid. And I think that's drafting quarterbacks. And I think, now listen, if they get to 18 and Wilson's gone and they're not sure about Lance and they think they can get Trask or, you know, Kellen Mond or the kid from Alabama later in the draft and they love a linebacker there or they love a corner there, like, I'm okay with that. But if they're in the top 10, I think you're going quarterback. But we got time to figure all that out. I think everyone agrees. Everyone can acknowledge that Alex is not the long-term solution. I don't think that's news.
Tremendous short-term solution, far from ideal long-term solution.
Well said. All right. It's time for Gabe Taylor. I want to thank Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the exact same thing. Check them out, oarsmanva.com. 6 locations, new cars, used cars, lease cars, anything you need. They will take care of you. Now, my interview with Gabe Taylor, Sean Taylor's younger brother. He's a safety at Rice University down in Houston. Go Owls. I hope you guys enjoy this. It's a real pleasure to get to sit down and talk to Gabe Taylor, who's a safety at Rice University. And for Washington football fans, they might know him as Sean Taylor's younger brother. Gabe, I think it's only right to start talking about you and your career. How are things going in Houston with the Rice Owls?
Everything's going well. It's a quick adjustment. Everything is going pretty good here. I like it here. You know, everybody's close. We just over here, we're just trying to be great, and that's all we're trying to do.
Obviously, I'm a football reporter in Washington, and I want to ask you about your brother. And I want to be sensitive because I imagine we both know what next week is with the anniversary of his passing. I'm curious how old you were when he passed.
I was 7. Yeah, I was 7 when he passed.
What do you remember from maybe that night and the next morning?
Man, it was kind of weird because I remember I had a nightmare that night. Like, it was like a shock kind of when I woke up. It was like my heart was beating. So that's the only thing I remember. And then everybody was like shocked and crying. Quiet. That's the only thing I remember.
And then what about the next morning when kind of the news came out?
It didn't feel real. It didn't feel real because I was just a little kid, so I don't understand death at that time. And I was seeing everybody crying. I was looking around, I was like, why are everybody crying? And I just saw my brother's name and stuff like that pop up. And I was crying, but it was like wasn't real tears at that time. I didn't really understand, like I said. But sooner or later, when I got older, I understand. So it got more sensitive at that point.
How old are you now?
I'm 19.
At 19? Listen, I'm 39, and I remember exactly where I was when I found out Sean passed. I remember the voice that said it over the radio. It was Donnie. Like, I remember vividly all of it. And you were a child. And it's understandable that you maybe aren't able to process all of it. How are you able to process all of it now at 19?
You know, I mean, I don't really feel I feel like for my dad, like he takes it like it's hard for him because I know that's his number one son right there. That's his first son. And so that's the first child. I mean, but like that was, you know. If he's taking it like the right way, I'm gonna take it the right way because I see him first and then I see myself like that's my brother, but it's like a son is more close, you know what I'm saying? And like he really like blueprint the whole platform for him to go to the league like that. And like I'm just following his steps right now. So whatever my dad feels like, I don't know, it's kind of confusing, but it's like I don't know if I'm saying the right to you, but I just understand that if my dad, because I only saw my dad cry one time and like I just wanted to, you know, just keep a happy face on the whole time and have a genuine, like, you know what I'm saying, love every time I with my dad and stuff. So I just stay close to him. And then for my brother, you know, it's sad, but like, it's like, I gotta keep going. I gotta do this for him. Like, everybody's like, literally, you know what I'm saying? Shantae's little brother here and this and that. But, you know, I just gotta put on, you know what I'm saying? Keep the legacy going.
Gabe, you said that you only saw your father cry the one time. Is that when your brother passed, or what brought him to tears?
It wasn't that time. It was something that happened recent. But my dad's a tough guy. Like, you barely see him cry, like, show emotions. And, like, he tries to keep a happy face all the time. And I applaud him for that. But the one time I seen him cry, like, when his mom passed away, my grandma, and before I got here, that's the only time I seen him cry.
What's it like for you and your family when the anniversary of Sean's passing comes up?
For me, it's like everybody – I mean, like, I want to keep it, like, to myself, you know what I'm saying? My family keeps it to ourselves, but it's like since – the Washington fans and all, like, everybody else love them so much. You know, they tag me and stuff. I see it. But it's like, it's his day, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's his passing away. It's not supposed to be for me, you know what I'm saying? I keep it to myself, but I see everybody tagging me and stuff like that.
Were you guys close? I mean, you were a little kid, and he was at University of Miami and then in the NFL and up in D.C. Did you spend a lot of time together when you were little?
I was a little kid, but we spent a lot of time together, you know, working out. He always came back from Washington to train with my dad, and that's when I worked out with him like that. And then Easter's, Thanksgiving, Christmas, like that, we always spent time together.
Life gets busy, man.
Mm-hmm. Especially, like, right now. Man, it's crazy.
Yeah, you got a college football season going on. Right. What's it like playing college football in the middle of COVID?
It's kind of crazy, but, like, you got to stay resilient at the time. You know, many obstacles. You don't know what's going to happen with COVID. So we just try to do our job with staying safe and try not to get COVID so we can play the season. And we're doing a very good job of doing that.
Do you ever watch your brother's highlights?
Mm-hmm. Get me pumped up. I'm not going to lie to you.
Is there, like, a favorite YouTube clip you pull up before a game or anything?
FSU versus Miami. That hit? Yeah, I still don't know how you did that.
You got to describe it.
When I think the FSU wide receiver was going across the slant with, like, a drag route, he came and just, like, I don't know what he did to him, 360. He made him do a 360 in the air, made it like that. So that I watched that. And, like, just, like, memories, like, these little sad songs, like, them little tributes, that's what I watched mostly. So I get my mood.
Do you remember any of the, like, the playoff run in Washington? Like, the fumble he ran back, any of that stuff?
Yeah, versus the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
I remember that. That's when I got he scored and he gave me the ball. I was there.
Were you sitting down low?
Yeah, that's the time he scored and I got the ball from him. He came and gave me the ball. I still got that ball from him.
How old were you? 5?
No, I think like 6. I remember that time. I remember that time. We drove there too. I remember that time.
Where's the ball?
Oh, it's at home. It's we moved to a new house, so it's probably somewhere in the house.
How cool of a memory is that? When I was 6, I don't remember anything.
Sucks. But it was pretty cool, you know, seeing all the fans like go to my game and like he'll be the last one out signing autographs like that. So it was a pretty cool moment right there.
What's it like being Sean Taylor's little brother? Like, is there ever any times where you're like, dude, I could do without this?
No. Like, what do you mean, like pressure or something like that?
Pressure or just like all the tweets and Instagram, like getting tagged in posts, stuff like that?
I mean, like, it's regular to me. I mean, like, I've been dealing with this all my whole life, so it's like regular to me. I mean, it's nothing, it's special, but like to me, it's like it's on the regular.
It's just your brother.
Yeah, it's my brother.
Who's all this hardest on? Your pop?
Who's on it? This right here? Yeah, man, my definitely pops.
Does he wear it at all?
No, you barely see it on his face.
Do you ever wonder where the hurt is for him?
I do, but it's like you can I can tell it's like it's there, but I'm not going to just ask him about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to keep it to himself.
Sure. What about the hit on the punter in the Pro Bowl?
Can you even do that? I don't think you can do that. I mean, you can't even hit hard in a Pro Bowl like that. But, I mean, everybody, when people talk about it and I'm there, they'd be like, bro, your brother's crazy. He'll get fined for that. I mean, you can't even do that.
He did it. I mean, I remember they would he and Portis would come out with their, like, fingers, their knuckles taped up, their helmet taped up. They couldn't do that either, and he just did it.
They still did it.
How much of his game do you try to bring to yours?
Just hit him.
You got to be your own person, obviously.
Yeah, right. But just hit him. But, like, I don't know. People say I move on the field like him and, like, have instincts. And my dad even peeps it out. And I'd be like, damn. Like, he showed me the clips and stuff like that with Sean in a video, me. And, like, it's like really, like, resemblance. I don't want to say, but it's, like, it's the same.
Speaking of the resemblance, I can see it. Like, I mean, you guys look alike. Have you heard that?
Yeah,
24/7. Dude, you just smiled. I mean, it's you look a lot alike. Gabe, you're obviously a smart young man to get into Rice. Rice is no joke.
Yeah, no joke for real.
What is it like studying right now, trying to be a football player?
It's actually going very well and easy, kind of, because I'm getting a lot of help from my on the team, football players on the teams, and, like, from tutors and stuff like that. So it's going very well and easy. It's not that bad.
How is freshman year college Gabe Taylor doing?
Hanging in there. I mean, he's doing good. I mean, like, especially for me as a freshman, like, for 1 year of football, I'm not supposed to be here, you know what I'm saying? But I can say that I'm really doing what I'm supposed to do.
You feel like your brother's watching you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you get done with a game, are you like, oh, man, I know he's going to bust my chops about this, or I know he's going to be happy about that?
No, he's going to be happy. I feel like my family's happy, so that's all that matters.
You calling your dad after this interview?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be a FaceTime call with all of them. I always call them.
All right, don't let me hold you up, Gabe. I appreciate your time, man, and go Owls. I'm rooting for you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.